ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero in the snow, at Degenerates 975. Can text the show, you know the number for that. We ought to get an at not the real Voldemort account for Voldemort, who's keeping us on air out here. But if you missed the first hour, good stuff. Great to be back. We were out here at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria, where they're bringing us really good food. Where a whole bunch of our coworkers are out here now celebrating. So I think it's going to be a fun show here for the next 2 hours.
Okay. So,
yeah. You know what I hate? I went to get some money, and I hate paying like a $4 fee to get 20 bucks. So you know I don't like to carry cash.
Right.
So I feel like I should get at least 100 so that I don't waste that $4.
It's a $4 fee?
It's $3.99. Yeah, thanks for fooling me with the $3.99, right?
It used to be $2.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then plus I'm pretty sure I'm going to get hit for the...
In the good old days, it was $2.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you can't do that for $20, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's... Yeah, oh, well. Okay, so we got the jobs here.
Okay. The most dangerous jobs in the world.
In the world, and what they pay. So... I mean, I think this is kind of a two-part thing because it's like, okay, yeah, this job is bad, but it pays this much. I'm okay with it. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, also known as the BLS, analyzed fatality data from 2016 and found that among civilians, nine industries are... breaking news.
Oh, boy.
Browns to acquire Tyrod Taylor from Bills. That means they've got to be drafting a quarterback,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
Right?
But that might mean that they're not drafting one with the first pick.
And it also means they're out on A.J. McCarron, I guess.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
I wonder what the Bills get back. That's all I care about. It's been real, Tyrod, but, I mean, let's face it.
So, I wonder what the Bills are going to do at quarterback now.
Well, I knew they were moving on anyway.
Well,
Schefter's also saying that the Browns are trading two draft picks to the Dolphins for Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, well, I saw that a little earlier, and they're trying to work out a long-term deal with him. I don't know what the Browns are doing. I'm not mid-round pick for Tyrod Taylor.
That sounds about right. I'll take that.
Yeah, yeah.
For a guy they knew they weren't bringing back.
Exactly. And you get him off the books without having to cut him.
Been real.
All right, so here's number nine on your list.
By the way, isn't it weird they're doing a top nine list?
Well, because these nine were way ahead of everybody else,
okay,
apparently. So, like, you know, we might have been number 10. Radio host might have been number 10 on the fatality list. It's a possibility.
I do have to tell you, when I was in the Army, most consider that a dangerous job. It wasn't. They didn't pay great.
Nah.
No, not great pay.
Well, most of these are not great pay. Fishing workers, number nine, 24 fatalities, 86 per 100,000 workers was your work injury rate.
Okay.
Your average wage, $30,740.
Average what?
Average wage, $30,000.
That ain't good.
And 24 of them died last year.
Man, when I watch that Deadliest Catch, I see people, they come home with like a... Like, for one trip out, they'll come out with 30 grand.
Well, I knew a guy who was basically a fish broker, right? And he would go out and lived in Louisiana and would catch these big-ass tunas and then sell them basically to guys who would take them to Japan and things like that.
Yeah.
And he made good money. But we're talking average, so some of these guys are probably making 15.
They're probably making nothing, yeah.
Yeah. Number eight on the list, refuse and recyclable material collectors.
Like a garbage man.
A garbage man. That would be the
That's
nice...
a really technical way of saying a garbage man.
It is. It is. 31 died in 2016.
What are these garbage men doing that they're dying? Mine just come and they put my trash can up to the back of their truck and the truck picks it up and dumps out the trash and then they put it back.
Don't you ever...
Sometimes they don't even pick up the can. They just leave it laying there in the street.
Don't you ever watch in the movies when they get their arm caught in the thing when it's going and then they get chewed up and killed?
I've never seen that in real life, though.
Well, it's not because you're probably not following around trash trucks to find out if it's happening.
Well, my
31 times.
My guys have a very, very good safety record.
Well, I'll tell you what, the guys that are collecting for us now, I see them, for some reason, they don't have the gate code, so they have to jump over the fence.
Oh, that's
and the
a
top of those
life.
Fences are spiked. I guarantee you, number 32 coming from that group. I'm going to put money on it right now. Number seven, aircraft pilots and flight engineers.
Okay, that makes
75
sense.
Deaths, average wage $86,000. I don't like that there's a lot of pilots dying because that means there's a lot of planes crashing.
Typically, yes.
That happens.
But
huh?
A lot of times pilots die wearing those or flying those single
Yeah, those,
single
those little Cessnas.
Yeah. I'm against those.
Yeah, basically, if you ask me to fly with you in a Cessna or a twin-engine plane or an experimental plane.
Nope.
My answer is going to be NFW.
Yeah, no thanks.
Number six, loggers. Now, I wonder if they're dying from actual logging or from those competitions where they get in the water and walk on the log. But 91 deaths in 2016. Number five, this one makes sense as well, roofers.
That does make sense.
Yeah, that's not 101 deaths. 42,000 is what they made. So far, your aircraft pilots and flight engineers made the most at 86,000.
Number what's a trash man make?
38.
Man.
In fact, the only job on this list that's more than 40 grand is the aircraft pilots and engineers. Everybody else, I take it back, roofers make 42,000. That's the only other one.
Oh, boy. Why are these guys doing these life-risking jobs for 40 grand?
And it's worse. Construction workers, 134 fatalities, 37,890. We're killing them off for 37,890 a year. Grounds maintenance workers.
Like on a baseball field?
I guess.
Or like golf course guys?
Maybe golf course guys.
I bet they get eaten by gators.
Yeah, or they get really high like Bill Murray and Caddyshack and then get run over because they were looking at women while they were putting. They get run over by a golf cart. 217 fatalities.
Jeez.
So... Head groundskeeper, maybe not that great of a job.
No, I would think not.
28,000 is what they make.
Oh, that's horrible.
Number two on the list. And we
I mean, no offense to those of you making 28 grand a year, but that's horrible. That's like starting radio pay.
Okay, I still don't think we've found one that you've done yet.
No.
I don't think you've done.
Because usually, infantry soldier is on the list.
Yeah.
And then usually roughneck on an oil rig is on the list.
I would have thought that would have been there.
Maybe it's getting safer out there on those roughnecking streets.
Yeah, depends. What year was Deepwater Horizon?
I don't know.
That's all right. Number two, farmers. 260 fatalities. Average wage $27,810.
Now that's job
farmer. That includes a lot of farmers. A lot of different type of farmers. Pig farmers. I guess corn farmers.
Yeah.
You know what? Did they walk in front of the machines accidentally and get the things that go and chew them up? Is that what happens?
I guess so, like the combines.
My father-in-law is a farmer, but he's not. It's like I don't consider what he has. Like when they told me they had a farm, you know, when I think of a farm, I think, you know, nice place, you got a few horses, whatever. I mean, their thing is like was like 6,000 acres of land, and they had people working for him and these big ass machines. And I guarantee you, he made more than $27,810 in a year.
Yeah.
And even in retirement, just renting the land out, he's just cleaning up. So that's like a big operation. I don't know if this includes, if this is just the smaller ones like a ranch. I don't know. But 260 fatalities, that's too many. And number one by a lot. Makes sense. Driving sales workers and truck drivers.
Truck drivers does make sense.
Yeah, and especially the ones that have to drive through this lousy-ass city when it comes to driving.
We always have big, like, 18-wheelers wrecked up.
Yeah, and people don't, they don't respect them. And 918 fatalities. And average wage, $34,000.
That's it?
That's all they make.
Man, I always thought those guys made more money, too.
So, yeah. $34,000. Now, I know some guys who make more, but they also own a bunch of trucks.
Yeah, I guess that makes a difference.
So, and I know we have a lot of truckers who listen, but, that's a lot.
Like, the jobs that I think of as dangerous, I guess maybe they're not that dangerous. I would think, like, prison guard would be dangerous, or prison transport, or, you know, DEA agent. You know, things like that. Those are the things I would think are, like, pretty dangerous jobs.
No, really. Any kind of law enforcement you think would be on there.
Prostitution. That's a dangerous job.
Yeah. Especially if you don't have a very good pimp.
Exactly.
That could be very dangerous.
If you're trying to get the discount.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to, I can make it on my own without a pimp. I've seen how that ends in the movies as well. So... Oh, well, there you go. There's a I wonder if the farmer deaths aren't because of FarmersOnly.com. Like, women marry these guys, right? And then...
I don't think so.
Well, they marry them, and they find out that they don't make as much money as they thought, and then suddenly there's an accident on the... hay baler.
Yeah.
Could be that. Yeah. I mean, hey, if... It could happen, right? I mean, if somebody can have their... boyfriend on FaceTime 24/7, I think a Farmers Only lady could bump off her husband.
Well, that's why I don't go to FarmersOnly.com.
Well, she probably... Well,
that, and I'm not a farmer.
She'd probably drink a Carbach first.
Yeah, she probably would. First of all, if you haven't been out to the restaurant at Carbach, I can't recommend it highly enough. I know everybody sitting at this table has been out there, and the food is out of this world. It's not bar food. It is gourmet cuisine, and they happen to have a bunch of great beer on the wall, which is, you know, that's always a plus. They've got it going on there, lunch and dinner. Make sure you get out. They're open 7 days a week. Go see them there. And they've got the Love Street Music Fest coming up. The lineup: the Bleachers, Cold War Kids, Everclear, the Tauntauns, and the Unlikely Candidates. Early bird tickets are officially on sale now for just $20. That's on Sunday, May 20th. This year's festival's got a bigger layout, more token stations, more beer stations, and more local vendors. Go to CarbachBrewing.com for more info and tickets. They've got a couple new brews out. The Weekday Warrior Session IPA is now out. And the Blood Orange Rattler is out, if you're into that. Whatever you're doing this weekend, make sure you take Carbach along with you. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. Or just tell your bartender tonight, please make it a Carbach. Almost everything. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. It's gonna be alright. If you're on the sinking. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 832 says, ground maintenance is for the landscape industry. We actually had a nationwide conference call in regards to this. Most are caused by machinery, wood chippers, chainsaws.
Oh, no.
Mower rollovers. Yeah, that sounds pretty horrible. Hey, guess who's tied for the lead at the golf tournament this week?
Tiger. Tiger Woods, y'all?
Yeah.
God, didn't Tiger look like a middle-aged man all of a sudden?
Well, he is.
It's crazy.
The guy's 62 years old. He's middle-aged.
He looks like James Earl Jones.
I'm your father.
Yeah.
By the way, my wife, when I got home last night from the bar, my wife was watching Field of Dreams. I've forgotten what a weird movie that was.
It's much better when you're stoned.
Like, I totally forgot the whole part where he was like, I've got to go to Boston to take this rider to a baseball game. And, I mean, it's just so weird.
Let's grab this little kid who gets one at-bat and then dies. And the doctor guy. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in that movie. But I guarantee you, smoke a nice bud before, it makes a lot more sense. So I've heard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies that, well, there's a lot of things that, frankly, just make more sense stoned. Like, every time I rewatch Rick and Morty now, I like to watch it stoned, because I guarantee you, I pick up all these jokes that I missed the first time, and for some reason, this multi-dimensional scientist god genius makes perfect sense when you've got a little weed in you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoa, man, that is so awesome. How did he do that? How did he turn himself from a pickle into a killing machine? It makes perfect sense now, man. This is why I hope it becomes legal here someday, because that's an endorsement I'd like to do. Everything's better on weed.
It is.
Yeah. And but unfortunately, it's not going to happen. Hey, I know you probably talked about this, but what, the Rams collecting cornerbacks like money?
Yeah. Good for them. And honestly, it's not costing them a lot.
No.
You know, I mean, these are guys that, you know, I'm not going to name any local teams name by name, but they could have used guys like this for the cheap.
Yeah, I can understand why they probably aren't in the market of giving away draft picks, because they don't have any.
Right.
So I'm not going to fault them too much. But, yeah, the price that they were paid for these guys, not so much. 713-780-ESPN.
Someone asked me today if could the Texans potentially go after Richard Sherman? As you may have remembered from Jerome's article, Richard Sherman is like the last guy who will go for the inmates running the prison type, yeah, Bob McNair stuff. Richard Sherman ain't coming to the Texans.
Well,
and honestly, the Texans probably wouldn't want Richard Sherman. He's not Texans worthy. But there's 0% match on that.
Well, did you see how the Texans PR came out and was vehemently denying that they wouldn't take any guys who protest? They basically
please.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. So, yeah, I think Richard Sherman would be number one on the list of no way from either guy.
He's right behind Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we still counted Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah, technically not in the NFL anymore.
Michael Bennett would be high on that list.
way up there.
Although he just got traded to the Eagles. Here's one that's interesting. If the Dolphins cut Ndamukong Suh, remember when Matt Schaub said he wasn't Texans worthy?
Yeah.
Can you imagine putting him on that defensive line?
Yeah,
with
I would
Connie
take
and
him.
Watt?
Yeah, you know what I like? Good football players.
Yeah me too.
That's the last thing I care about is, hey, football player, tell me your political leanings. Just kidding. I don't care. I want to watch you play football. I want you to tackle people for me.
Yeah, okay. I want you to mash the occasional quarterback. I want you to lead my defensive line and get a bunch of sacks and eat running backs in the backfield. And if you want to kneel, kneel.
Yeah.
If you want to protest, protest. If you want to stay in the locker room, stay in the locker room. Can you win football games for me?
That's all I care about.
I don't care about your politics.
That's it.
If you want to wear an I Love Trump shirt, be my guest. Not on the field, of course.
Right.
I mean, you can wear it when you're practicing on the field, I think. But, I wouldn't be shocked if Richard Sherman winds up with somebody like the Raiders. It seems like that might be a good fit for him. But, I think you're going to see some relatively these are relatively big names being let go. And the Seahawks especially seem to just be in total, okay, we're going to blow it up mode.
It's kind of surprising, honestly.
Well, I didn't think they were that far away, and maybe
I didn't either.
To me, they kind of like the secondary is kind of the equivalent of the Texans' front four or so, in that, well, maybe front seven, but that, you know, that's the strength of their team. they needed a running back and they needed to beef up the offensive line, in my opinion. And it's, and to me, they weren't that far away from being competitive. But obviously, they've judged that that's not the case.
Do you remember? I don't know if you heard yesterday. Jong and I were talking about the Ravens and how they'd be interested in drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, I heard some of that.
And we were talking. I mean, that just seems crazy to me because the Ravens were 9-7 last year, and Joe Flacco was really bad last year, and they were still pretty close. If Joe Flacco has an average Joe Flacco season, which not his best season, but not last season, which was one of his worst.
Well, but that's kind of been what he's been, though, for the last few years. That has been the average Joe Flacco season. And
Joe Flacco, I mean, he threw for like 3,200 yards last year. That's not the average Joe Flacco season.
It, over the last few years, yeah, it has been.
No, the year before, 4,317 yards.
But he also played more games. What was his TD to interception ratio?
He played the exact same amount of games. 2016 and 17, he played in 16 games. He was 20-15 in 2016, 18-13 in 2017. But
those are very average numbers. I mean, 4,000 yards is there's a lot of empty yards in that, and you know that. I mean, what's his completion percentage year to year?
You know what? What's his winning record? What's his record? He was at 65% last year.
Okay.
That ain't bad.
But what was their record the year before? They had a losing record, right?
They were 9-7 last year, 8-8 the year before. Okay. But you're married to him anyway.
Well, I mean, the point is, I mean,
don't you build around what you're stuck with?
Well, I mean, I agree with your point that you're stuck with him. But if you're expecting him to suddenly turn into a good quarterback again, I think you're insane. I think what he is, I mean, he's a lot like Eli.
I don't expect
what you get is a guy who won you a Super Bowl and was a good player at one time, and isn't a good player. He's not a bad player. He's a Jay Cutler. He is.
I'm not expecting 2010 Joe Flacco to walk through the door, but. Or 2012. I mean, there's been some good Joe Flacco years. I don't think you're getting those again, but I also think you're stuck with him for 2 years. You might as well try to build around him and see if he can, you know, get
close.
Well,
you try to get – basically, you're in the same position the Giants have been in the last 2 years. You can't get rid of Eli.
Right.
You need to try to build as much as you can around Flacco. And to be fair, I mean, he hasn't had any receivers. His running backs were hurt. I mean, there have been a lot of things that have gone wrong. I think if you put some talent around him, go out and draft. Of course, when have they ever drafted a good receiver? I mean, the Ravens have been really good at drafting, but when have they ever been good at drafting receivers and putting one with him? And I think if they could do that, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't invest in any of these quarterbacks this year because I don't like any of them. But next year?
Yeah.
I mean, then you're a little closer to him.
Next year you're close. Yeah. Now you're 2 years away. You've got to play for now because you're close enough to play for now.
And again, maybe they're making the same determination that the Seahawks are. And it's just like, okay, it strikes me as odd that the Ravens are kind of looking like, okay, we're going to consider rebuilding, which I don't believe that report, by the way.
Right.
The Seahawks are tearing things up, and the Cleveland Browns are acquiring players like they're in win-now mode.
Right.
Which I think somebody tweeted earlier. All right, guys.
Would you consider Torrey Smith a good receiver? They did draft him. He's not bad.
He's not bad.
They drafted Mark Clayton in the first round, though, and he sucks. Sucked.
I mean, they tried every year. I think Torrey Smith is probably the best one that they drafted.
I think so.
But if you go back and look, almost every year they drafted a guy in the first couple rounds, and
none of them panned out.
Yeah. And, you know, then their running backs have been hit and miss. He hasn't had a lot of weapons around him. So
there's a Ray Rice joke there.
No, he was hitting hit.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't miss.
All right, next segment we'll have R.J. Bell. 6 o'clock, guess who we're going to have? Former Rocket Mucci Norris is going to join us.
That's right.
And
He's ready.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, he's he told me earlier, he's like, dude, I'm a massive fan of the show. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah, he's really pumped about this appearance, so it should be good.
I don't blame him.
Me neither. I mean, I'm a fan of his.
I'm a fan of the show, too. So.
Yeah, I like the show, and I like Mucci Norris, so I feel like it's a good match because I followed his career. He said he's been following my career, so.
Does he have a A.J. Hoffman trading card, though?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so, but he did ask me to sign a ball. So I'll do that later. I haven't done it yet, but I will do that.
He has a microphone sitting over there. Maybe I want you to sign that.
Maybe so.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Pick Me Events. And we're out here at the Hyatt Regency where if you're going to have an event, this is a great place to do it. Well, if you're going to do it, you got to have a photo booth by Pick Me. Our buddy Michael does it. It's a fantastic, fantastic setup. Weddings, birthdays, bar mitzvahs, corporate, so much more. They've got custom photo layouts for any theme, custom animations, unlimited photo prints at your event, social media sharing, and more. And the cool thing about it is, as a matter of fact, my daughter was in an event that Pick Me was doing and was sending me pictures of her because she was so excited. And that's a great thing, man. If you got a wedding coming up, a bar mitzvah, it doesn't matter. Michael's going to take care of you. He's got a great booth set up. Customize everything. He did our party that we had last week at the station. And they're running specials all month long. All you have to do is contact them today to book your unique experience. Give them a call, 713-423-4190. 713-423-4190. Or go to Pick Me Events. That's PICMEEvents.com. That's Pick Me.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, where nice crowd. A lot of our people, the boss is here. David Gow is here in the house. And got a text, great to finally meet you guys. Hashtag guy with the red hat, whose wife's also from Canada. So we were sharing a lot of Canadian life stories. Oh, no way. Well,
a coinky dink.
Well, guess what time it is? It's 5:30 on Friday, which means it's time for the gambling guru of the universe, RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ? How are you, my friend?
No, I like this live hit, right? You're at a classy Galleria. I approve.
Oh, yeah, and this place is extremely classy. I've even got a jacket on, man. We're looking sharp.
My shirt has a collar with buttons.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still jeans.
Impressive.
But yeah.
Well, the best news is we just found out we're going to be out there for the Canelo fight, so we'll be visiting you in a couple of months here.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. Now, did you guys see, I'm guessing you did, the controversy with the testing?
I didn't hear you, RJ.
Did you guys see about the drug test and there was a certain amount of the performance-enhancing drug, but it was below the threshold on Canelo?
Yeah, I normally don't give athletes the benefit of the doubt, but because it was like the program that he had like basically volunteered for, and it was so little, and it was the same drug that's basically popped up in Mexican beef cases all over the place, I kind of believe him.
Well, listen, here's the thing I think people are missing. If any drug testing agency has a threshold saying above this is a problem, below this is okay, it's not as if they're saying, oh, it's okay to cheat a little bit. What they're saying is there's natural reasons that to have the amount below the threshold. So really having an amount below the threshold in no way it indicates any kind of problem. So, yeah, it could have been the last residual amount of cheating way in the past. But more likely, it's natural reasons that the agency is accounting for by creating the threshold itself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And we've seen this, the whole Mexican beef thing, to crop up a lot. So hopefully, you know, that's the last we'll hear of it. I want to ask you a quick question about the NFL because there's so much happening now. Like the Seahawks seem to be dismantling their team. The Browns seem to be collecting veterans like they're a player away. How much will any of this affect future odds over the next week? Will you see any kind of bump from some of these teams? Will you see people back off of Seattle much? I mean, will the numbers move very much?
You know, I was just digging into the Browns. I mean, I hate having a strong opinion before I talk to people. So let me put this as a first thought. and get you guys' thought on it. Is the idea that the Browns made any kind of upgrade? I mean, maybe an upgrade with Taylor because they had the worst quarterbacking in the league. But we talked last year about the Bills literally sitting Taylor that game out of fear they'd make the playoffs and have to keep him. I mean, it was literally a conspiracy theory is the only way we could explain why they would sit Taylor in that game and get, you know, totally destroyed, if you remember the Bills with the backup quarterback in there.
Yeah.
And now they're giving up a third-round pick. So literally it's a third-round pick for Taylor and a second-round pick for Garoppolo. I mean, this seems like a whore. And then Taylor has the same contract that has the big jumbo payment this year. I mean, this seems like something where they were going to cut Taylor if they couldn't trade him, but somehow they got a third-round pick, the Bills.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it's an upgrade for the Browns, but what are they doing? Does that mean that they're not going to be in on it? I'm guessing they're not in on A.J. McCarron, so this is their guy, and they're probably going to draft someone. But they seem to be adding veteran guys here to a team that was 0-16. I mean, I don't quite get the thought process here.
Well, I do agree with the following, and I actually think the Lakers did this same concept. They applied it this year, is if you're building slowly, and that's really the only way to build if you're building with youth, especially in the NFL, right? There's no silver bullet in the NFL, like in the NBA, right? Sign LeBron, pretty much any team in the league is going to be a contender, right? There's nothing like that in the NFL. So if you're going to be growing and building through the draft over time, having a few bigger names during that interim period, especially when you have a minimum amount of salary that you have to spend anyway, you know, the minimum in the salary cap, it keeps the fans somewhat excited. And I think the analogy is Isaiah Thomas. I have almost zero possibility, in my opinion, the Lakers retain Thomas after this year. But, hey, it's a big name. They had, you know, less than half a season to go. They didn't mind winning because of their draft situation where they could lose it if it was a really bad or a really high pick. But it allowed people to have some excitement to go see the Lakers in the interim. So couldn't you make the case some of these veterans? And, again, giving up the third-round pick to me is the problem. It's not spending the money on Taylor. It's giving up such a good pick. But if you have a couple of guys that let you win three or four games next year, it makes you feel like you've made some progress. And then by the time you're really ready to win, those guys have cycled out. Isn't there some utility in that?
Yeah, I think that makes some sense. But I'm just kind of baffled by that. So when you look at them, how much is that going to affect their over-under win total for next year? I mean, what would you say having Tyrod Taylor – versus whatever crap they were throwing out there last year, what difference does that make in their win total?
I think, Fred, and this is rare, I think your basic assumption is wrong. Win totals or Super Bowl odds, any far look ahead type odds, isn't based upon last year as the reference point, but rather based upon expectations of next year. So an example being, let's say Tom Brady retired after this year and they had no viable quarterback on the Patriots roster, let's say right after the Super Bowl. They wouldn't make the odds assuming, oh, you know, the Patriots are going to have like a backup level quarterback. They're going to say, what's the expectations of what the Patriots in my case or the Browns in this case would get? And then they're going to set the odds to that. Then once a move is made, the expectation is either met or exceeded or maybe fallen short of. I'll give you another example. The Cubs signed a pitcher, a really nice pitcher, a couple weeks ago, but their odds didn't improve hardly at all because the assumption was they had the space with their salary to sign a nice pitcher, and they had lost one, and they were going to. And that pitcher pretty much met expectation. My feeling with Taylor is if they go into next season, the Browns, with Taylor as the starting quarterback, that will be a disappointment to expectation. You would have guessed the Browns would have had either Cousins or the number one pick in the draft. And these days, the number one pick in the draft being a quarterback will often start the first game. So if you tell me they're going to draft a quarterback number one, whoever it is reasonably, and then that Taylor's going to start the first, you know, 5 to 10 games, and then that number one is going to slide in at some point. Wow. To me, that Taylor for, let's say, half the season and the number one quarterback for half the season would be worse than the number one quarterback for the whole season. So I would say if Taylor is the ultimate best they've got, it would be a disappointment to expectations.
I think the Browns are probably looking at this season, and this has no betting take to it, so maybe I shouldn't even bring it up with RJ, but I feel like the Browns are under the assumption that they're going to be able to play Taylor for a year, maybe two, while they groom whatever quarterback they draft this year. They're hoping to groom him long-term, but rarely does that work out. I mean, usually the guy, there's frustration, then fans start to freak out, and then they throw the guy into action. And a good example of that was Jared Goff last year, or 2 years ago, his rookie year. They weren't going to play him. Suddenly fans are booing, you know, coaches are about to get fired, and all of a sudden Jared Goff's out there looking like garbage and taking his lumps, because that's the way it works. That's the way the pressures of those jobs work.
But isn't that phenomenon of groom the guy usually reserved for mid to late round first round pick, mid to late first round pick that has massive physical abilities but just isn't there yet on the blackboard or in other ways?
Maybe they're looking at it like an Aaron Rodgers type situation.
But geez, it's been 12, 13 years now. That was a weird, unusual situation.
But I think the quarterbacks the quarterbacks you just described are all going in the top 10 now.
You're right about that.
And I mean, look at this Allen kid from Wyoming is a perfect example of that, and he may go number one overall.
Maybe, you know, I'm not sure. And again, to me, I always am a little suspect where we look at something like, okay, a 56% completion percentage and saying, well, we know the one correlated factor between college and pro is completion percentage, a la accuracy. Thus, he's inaccurate. He must be horrible. I don't think it's that simple. I think the offense you're in, you know, Houston, for example, right, the run and shoot had, you know, Klingler, you know, Andre Ware back in the day, and it was a situation where those guys had amazing completion percentages. It was just the types of passes they were throwing didn't translate to the NFL, right? So, and obviously Oklahoma's had a lot of quarterbacks like that where the numbers look great. So here's the thing, though. I think Goff not starting as a top pick, one of the number one pick in the draft, right, was just a sign of how bad he was at that point. Let me ask you, if a quarterback gets taken in the top 5 of the draft, this is interesting. I'm not making a bet offer over state lines because I never do, but hypothetically, if I said for the next 5 years, every quarterback taken in the top 5, so 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, over under the number of games they start the first year, and then you would have to have whatever that number is be the number to apply to every quarterback picked in the top 5. What's your best number to split the over and the under? I would make the over under like 11.5.
See, I was thinking 10.5.
Yeah. So I think it's rare that you ever let a top 5 quarterback not be planned to be the starter the first game. Now, obviously, he can get hurt. Obviously, there could be disappointing progress. But in general, if you take a quarterback top 5, you're planning on him starting the first year. So why in the heck do you pay a jumbo amount for Taylor?
Okay, well, here's an example of that. The Bears, this last year, they make an off-season signing of Mike Glennon. They think that that's going to be their quarterback for the full year. He doesn't work out. They throw Trubisky out there. But I really do think they started the year with the plan of Trubisky sitting out for a year, because otherwise I can't imagine why they would have paid Mike Glennon what they did.
Now, let me ask you this. Great question, AJ. Nuance point. Was it that they wanted a stopgap for 1 year to potentially groom, you know, have Trubisky groomed beneath him? Or was it the Seattle Seahawks approach? But obviously with Russell Wilson, it wasn't a first-round pick. Was it the Seattle approach of saying, listen, quarterback is so important that we're willing to pay. We think it's possible Glennon is a franchise quarterback ready to emerge, right? And we also think Trubisky is a potential franchise quarterback. We think the odds of each is about 50-50. That's if we have two of them, there's a 75% chance one of them's going to hit. I'm actually a big believer in that. I wouldn't think it'd be crazy. The only thing that makes this crazy is that you can't give both enough time to develop.
Right.
But I wouldn't have a problem otherwise if there was more practice time, like the old days, that the Browns pick a quarterback at 1 and 4.
Oh, boy.
Think about it. What is a top five quarterback to end up being a top half the league starter? 50-50 at best, right?
Right.
So the best defensive lineman they could get, the best safety they could get, the best, you know, guard they could get, whatever else they might draft, but the best running back they could get, I don't care what his combine stats are, moves the line about a half a point, right? A very good quarterback, but not great, to a average NFL backup is about 6 points. So if you've got a position which is 12 times more valuable than pretty much any other position on the field, don't you do pretty much whatever else you need to do to fill that position? And the other example where I think my case is really beyond debate, so warning, beyond debate, is look at the teams like Green Bay and the Colts. When they have Andrew Luck 100% healthy and they have Aaron Rodgers 100% healthy, they're playoff teams, they're top 8 teams usually. With the Colts maybe a little on the border of that. When those two are out and you've got an average backup, they are amongst the worst teams in the league, literally 29, 30, 31, 32. So one player takes
make that
you
example.
From...
You can make that example here with this Houston team. When Deshaun Watson was playing, they looked every bit of a playoff contender. When he was out, they were the worst team in the league, save maybe the Browns.
And you had a starter in Savage that your coach felt like wasn't an average backup, but was good enough to be an average starter in the NFL, or you would have never went into the year with him as a starter. So,
Bill O'Brien's a moron. You can't account for that.
I'm not one to call guys that coach Tom Brady morons, but again, you guys are the hot take guys.
You wouldn't call Charlie Weiss a moron? I would.
No. Hey, listen, I actually know a guy very well from Kansas, like in the administration. Charlie Weiss wouldn't move his family to Kansas. Anyone smart enough to get like, what did he end up making, like $12 million and not even move to a town? He's not that dumb.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's not a moron as a coach, though. just because these guys get these jobs doesn't mean they know what they're doing with them.
You know, I really like you guys. I disagree with you on that. I think the good example is Jeopardy. I'll give you a good example. Is Rob Ryan's brother. I always forget his name. The guy with the hair.
Rex.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Rob.
Rex Ryan's brother, Rob, yeah.
Exactly. Yes, Rob. So I didn't forget his name. Have you heard him on the radio in the last 6 months?
No.
Okay. He was doing stuff with another network, and I listened to it, and I said, this guy knows more about football by far than any handicap. And you remember, Vegas, oh, wow, they moved the number. The thing I think Vegas misses is there's very few guys that really understand X's and O's, and myself certainly included, I don't. I couldn't coach college and even think – I could not coach D-backs in college and even start to think I knew enough to do that, right? So forget about pros. Is hearing him, Ryan, Rob on the radio, it was like this guy knows so much more football than any radio host I've ever listened to, and including you guys, and any better I've ever talked to. And he's supposedly one of the worst defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL. So I really do think this is one of those examples of saying, oh, that guy got 28th in the Olympics. He's horrible. But that 28th in the Olympics in the 100-yard dash would have won the state title in high school in Texas. Right? And you guys don't want
to
run against
to your
guy.
Peers. Well, at some point, you've got to be judged by how you compare against your peers.
And not only that,
you're
RJ,
but you're not their peers.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen, I Dom Capers knows X's and O's better than any guy I've ever been around. But being a head coach and making in-game decisions, just because you know this stuff doesn't mean you make good decisions in-game. It doesn't mean you have game management skills. It doesn't mean you know how to put your players in the best position to win every week. You might know the X's and O's as well as anybody, and I'm telling you, you sit down with Dom Capers for 5 minutes, you're going to think he's Rain Man. I mean, he can design a defense to stop anything, but doing it in the moment, it's the same thing as being a poker player. You make bad decisions at the poker table even if you know everything about it. So it's not that easy to say. To me, to just say blanketly that, oh, well, he got a job in the NFL, he must be good, doesn't mean he has the right skills to be a head coach or a coordinator. That's why so many great coordinators don't make it as a head coach. It also comes down to hiring. You have to hire the right guys to be your coordinators, to be your assistants. I think there's just so much more to it.
When you say Dom Capers, you mean Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator Dom Capers?
Yeah, I do.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. So, and he flamed out as a head coach twice.
But what AJ said earlier is, when I say earlier, I mean 90 seconds ago, is very different than what I thought you guys were saying. So let's clarify for a second. If you're saying that so-and-so is a horrible coach because he's the 32nd best head coach, then I accept that. If it's relative to his peers, I accept that, because the 32nd best NFL head coach is probably the 60th best head coach in the world, right? Assuming some of the college guys are better. Yeah, he's 60th in the world or something, which most likely is better than 99.9% of us or the listeners, that we're not top 60 in the world at anything that really matters. Or, real quick now, and I apologize, or is it you're saying you guys know more than this guy?
No. See, no. Nobody's saying it. See, that's the thing. You're taking it like we're comparing ourselves to the coach. That's completely false. We're comparing them, A, to their peers, and then what they do in-game. And believe me, if you say the guy's the 32nd best head coach in the NFL, he might be number 150 in real life, because there's a lot of assistant coaches out there. There's a lot of college guys that are moving up the ranks. I mean,
but remember, Fred, give me credit, or at least acknowledge that it was 2 weeks ago you guys said you and AJ could be better GMs for the Texans, co-GMs.
And
than
a
the
GM
current.
Is a completely different skill. Completely
okay,
different
so
skill than being a head coach.
So when you tell me you could be better than the GMs, I'm thinking you're comparing yourselves to the coaches too. I didn't know that was the, oh, no, we would never do that.
Well, okay, you're making assumptions then, RJ.
Well, absolutely. That's the only way you can
And they're incorrect assumptions. And so, therefore, when your assumption is incorrect, the rest of your argument's immaterial.
So when you say Dom Capers is horrible, you mean he's one of the 100 best in the world at what he does?
For one thing, I said, as an X's and O's guy, and I don't think I was unclear about this, he's one of the best I've ever seen. Does that mean that he has all the skills to be a head coach? Absolutely not.
And so if the Texans hired Dom Capers to be their head coach, you would be all upset and
which
say how
did.
Horrible he was.
No, they hired him when they first came into existence, and
he was horrible.
He was not good as a head coach. He was very good as a defensive coordinator for many years in Green Bay, but guess what? That wore out too. RJ, I'm sorry, we got to go. We're we're way past time here, and we've got another guest coming up, but to be continued. We'll continue to tell each other we're wrong next week. So,
I appreciate that you perked up this week, Fred.
What do you mean perked up?
Perked up.
Talked. I actually talked this week. Usually, I can't get a word in with you two guys. All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
Okay, guys, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academy, or Texans Can Academies, which is. I'll tell you what. You want your vehicle donation to go local. You want your vehicle donation to go to a place that takes kids that have had issues at other schools. Sometimes they had to get jobs to support their family, so they had to miss class, or sometimes they had transportation problems. Something as simple as that. Well, Texans Can Academies takes them in. They give them another chance. And so many of them go on and do great things. They go on, they graduate, they become a big part of our community, and that just makes the world a better place. And right now, they need your help with this. Your donation is needed. And by your donation, they mean a vehicle, car, truck, be a motorcycle, it could be an RV, a tractor, It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of shape it's running. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine called me the other day and said, hey, I got a vehicle that got damaged in the floods. It's not in great shape. Will they take a donation? That's absolutely. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They're going to take care of all the paperwork. You can get online and boom, it's done in minutes. And your donation's tax deductible. And you're doing a good thing. And if you donate today, how about this? $50 Visa gift card on top of everything else. Just their way of saying thank you, but you got to make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Give them a call today, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid. Wind blow, and it you blow. Your stairway lies on the whispering.
ESPN 97.5.